Welcome to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is Matthew, filling in for Pastor Eugene. In these days of deep division on every side, the only way Christians can remain united is the faith in God that comes through the hearing of His Word, a faith that shows no partiality, just as the Scripture says. Please join me now as Pastor Jim opens the Word to Galatians chapter 2 and shares this important message. And stay tuned for a special interview right after the sermon.
Galatians chapter 2, we'll find the first verse, and we will stand, if you can, in honor of the reading of God's Word. Galatians 2. Verse 1, then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised also worked through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles as they too the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Father, as we study in your word, Lord, may the soil of our heart be that fertile soil, that soil that is prepared by you to receive the seed of your word. And may it grow within us that you would be honored and glorified in our lives, in the way that we live, in those things that we do, those things that we say, and in the good works that bring honor to you. I pray, Father, that you would speak through me to these that you have gathered. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. This Galatians is hard to break it up into smaller chunks. I usually don't like to do more than just two or three verses at the most at a time, but you need to hear whole sections of this to get the whole picture. So we are doing a little bigger sections than what we would normally do. After I had prepared my message, I went to look and see what some others who I would say are pillars among the leaders of the church in this country, how they broke it up, and I found they must have found the exact same thing, because they broke up in the same areas. With that being said, this particular 10 verses is probably not something that somebody who preaches topically would ever preach. I mean, why would they? They would have to dig into this to find what is being said here. I probably would not read, try it again. I would not preach it if I was preaching topically. But because we preach verse by verse, we came to this, and there is great wealth to be had from it. And so I pray that God speaks to you as it reveals the importance of the gospel and who He is. There are some things that are worth fighting for, isn't there? Have you ever had to fight for something? When I was young, I remember the third grade. There were three boys in the third grade where I went that used to beat me up. I mean, they used to beat me up. And then I'd get home and my dad would get mad that I got beat up. not at them, at me, for having allowed it to happen. We moved away when I was fourth grade, and I came back to Manhattan School in seventh grade. Those same three boys decided that they would pick up where they left off a few years back. They only decided that once. After that, they decided they didn't want to do it anymore because I had learned how to stand up for myself and to fight. Sometimes when we talk about a fight, we are talking about going to fist, aren't we? Sometimes when we talk about a fight, we're talking about going to war. There are those here in this room who have served in the military and protected our country, ready to fight, or did fight. Sometimes when we talk about a fight, we're talking about standing fast on what is important. I shared this story this morning at the Methodist Church about a little boy who went to school and he came home, and when he got home, his mom saw he had two black eyes. And she said, What happened? She said, I thought I told you that when you get angry, before you do anything, count to 100. He said, I did, Mom. But the boy I was fighting, his mom told him to count to 50. When we stand, sometimes we have to stand in such a way that we are prepared for what comes. And friends, if you are truly one who belongs to Jesus Christ, you have to stand for the gospel. Those who do not stand for the gospel cannot belong to Jesus Christ. Because to not stand for the gospel is to reject Jesus Christ and what he did. His paying our debt, his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. So sometimes we have to fight. And we got to stand for what is right. That's what Paul's doing. Last week we looked at the end of chapter 1 where he tells about how he received the gospel. In chapter 1, we also saw where he said that his apostleship came from, how it came from God, and we saw that last week. And then how he received the gospel as a direct revelation from God. How did the apostles, how did Peter and James and John, how did those men receive the gospel? It was from walking with Jesus, wasn't it? It was from Jesus' mouth. And Paul is saying, that's how I received it, through the revelation of Jesus. Now we know the first revelation of Jesus he had was what we looked at last week too, on that road when he was greeted by the bright light and by Jesus Christ. That meeting that changed his life. And then last week too, he said he went away for 3 years to study, to learn in the wilderness. So he comes back, and now for 14 years from there is how I read this. Some say 14 years from his conversion. I believe it's 14 years from that because it says then after 14 years. So after 14 years of ministering, he went up to Jerusalem. He went with Barnabas, and he also took Titus with him. Now, Barnabas, we remember and know, is the first of the apostles to accept Paul, wasn't he? He was the first of the apostles to reach out with that hand of fellowship and to receive Paul after all that Paul had done as Saul to the church. Now, Titus, on the other hand, was a young man who was Greek, who had come to Christ, who had been taught by Paul, and had been called into ministry. In our Bible, in our New Testament, we have an epistle, a letter written to Titus, don't we? Paul is going to eventually send Titus to the island of Crete to minister there. So these are the two that went with Paul as he went up to Jerusalem. Now remember, again from last week, it was in Jerusalem where he met with two of the apostles. He actually met with Peter, but he also saw James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, so we're all caught up on who's there. Verse 2, he says, I went up because of a revelation. He was called to Jerusalem by God, is what he's saying. God called me up there. God led me to go there. He is saying that by revelation, by God revealing this to him, that he needed to go there, and he's going to reveal the purpose here in a moment, he left that area and went up to Jerusalem. And there he says, I set before them, and I'm going to skip over for a moment what's in parentheses, the gospel I proclaim among the Gentiles. So as he meets with the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, those apostles and other leaders of the church, as he meets with them, he lays out for them the gospel that he has been teaching. Now, we know what Paul's been doing, right? We know that as he went out on that first missionary journey and throughout these last 15 years, he has been starting churches. He has been teaching men and women the word of God according to what he received. And then, and by the way, that is an important comment because we see that in other places. Somebody this morning said that they've been studying in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Well, in that 11th chapter about the Lord's Supper, when he says what we're doing with the Lord's Supper, he says, I give to you what I received. Who did he receive it from? He received it from Jesus. Not in the upper room, but directly in his teaching to him. So he lays out this gospel. Now, when you want to learn about doctrine that honors and glorifies God, Paul and Peter really lay out doctrine. They lay out what we would call theology so that people can understand what it is that honors and glorifies God. So he lays out his theology. He lays out his doctrine. He lays out the gospel as he's been teaching it that he proclaimed to the Gentiles. For just a minute, we'll pretend like nobody here knows what the Gentiles are. The Gentiles were those who were not Jew. That's hard to remember, isn't it? No, it's easy. It didn't matter where they were from. They weren't Jew. There was God's chosen people, the Jew, and there was everybody else. And everybody else was a Gentile. Over the years, we've had one or two people that have had Jewish descent. But most of us are Gentiles. Most of us are what the Bible would call the uncircumcised, talking about the old law that brought them into obedience. So he says, this is the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles. And they listened. Paul laid it out, and they listened. From the way Paul writes this letter, you get the idea that they didn't say anything. You get the idea that they didn't say, oh yeah, Paul, that's it. We're with you. At least not yet. You get the idea that they sat watching Paul, maybe even judging Paul's heart as he shared this. But verse 3, I'm going to come back up to the end of 2 in a minute. Verse 3 says, but even Titus, now Titus is a Gentile, the uncircumcised, who was with me was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. That was the approval he needed. Paul did not go there so that the apostles from Jerusalem would show him truth or correct his wrong. Paul knew where he got the gospel. And Paul knew that since he got that directly from Jesus Christ, that it was the right gospel. So Paul wasn't looking for the approval for himself of the apostles. Remember the problem that Paul's writing about for Galatia, for the Galatians. The problem is those who had slipped into the church after he had left and were adding to the gospel. They said, yes, it takes grace, but it also takes circumcision to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. And we've talked about this in the last few sermons, how today people are trying to add things in to the gospel. People want you to have grace plus. There are many who say, yes, it is grace, but you also got to do this. But it is the grace of God. Paul puts it this way. He said, it is by grace you are saved, not of yourself, nothing of yourself, in other words, lest you would boast. We can't even be proud of the fact that we are Christian because it wasn't about our intelligence to become a Christian. You know, nothing frustrates, or maybe I should say even angers me more than to see somebody who is a Christian who is looking down their nose at somebody who is not, or somebody who has not had the grace to receive what God has, as if they were superior. They have received a blessing from God in that grace, but it's not because they were superior. It was because of his mercy and his love. So what Paul is really looking for here is to affirm for the Galatians, for those who these Judaizers had come in behind and confused, he was looking to affirm for them what the truth is. Have you ever sat under one preacher and he says this thing, and then you sit under another preacher and he says this thing, and they don't match? Doesn't matter what denomination, the scripture should match, right? No matter what denomination it is, it should match. Because it's God's word. God didn't have multiple meanings. What did God mean when he had this written? What did he mean by the gospel? And since this was being subverted, I'm going to drop down again here a little bit in verse 4. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Without the truth of the gospel, your salvation, your hope is washed away, because it is the truth of the gospel that he uses to pour in his grace and open the eyes and regenerate the heart. And when that is subverted, when that is twisted, we come away with a whole new religion instead of a follower of Christ. And we create a new Christ in our or somebody else's image, but not in God's. So he lays all this out, and he says at the end of verse 2, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. That's easy to misunderstand. Paul isn't saying that he's afraid he's taught the wrong thing and that everything he's done up to now is wasted. What he is saying is he does not want those who we were just talking about, those Judaizers, those people who had slipped into the church to steal our freedom, he did not want them to rob those who have heard the truth from a life in Christ. Remember the soils? The seed that was sown on the path, the birds of the air came and they took it. Nothing took. People hear the gospel and it bounces off of them. Then there was the ground that was rocky, and the seed would pop up, but since there was no room for depth of root, it would wither away. Then there was this seed that fell on the soil that had weeds in it, and as it would sprout up, the weeds would choke it out and kill it. If you don't understand that, go look at my flower bed at home. It choked them out. It killed them. But then there was the soil that was prepared. Prepared by who? Prepared by God. Who did God use? How did God do that? He did it himself, and he did it through whoever he chose. And on that soil, when the seed fell, it sprang up and it produced. See, these Judaizers, they were choking it out. They were stealing the seed so that there would be no production, there would be no harvest, there would be no fruit from those who received it. So Paul didn't want to be running in vain. He wanted to keep that from happening. And it wasn't even about Paul's reputation that he's saying this. What he was concerned about was the souls of those people, that they would not be turned away from God and would truly be saved. Folks, people are willing to confuse us all the time. They are. Some friends of mine, good friends of mine, sent me an email here a while back, and finally this week I was reading it, and they wanted me to give my opinion on an article. I read it 4 or 5 times, and this article took God's word, misapplied it, and scrambled it as to confuse people, so that when they gave their conclusion at the end of the article, he said, oh, well, that clears it up. That's what they do to us. We have seen it. We have had it happen. And I say we. It has happened to me too, where I have to say, no, stop. What is this? And get into God's word and find it. On that article, I started to answer. I wrote 2 pages and I hadn't even gotten to an answer yet. And I decided it was time to stop and start over so that I could answer that. I could answer that in something that wasn't a novel. So I had to stop and start rewriting that. But that's what they do. The Judaizers put that stuff out there. The false teachers, that's what he calls them. The false teachers, the false brothers, the false sisters. They'll tell you things and they'll make them sound good. It sounded legitimate to these Gentiles who were wanting to become Christian, who were wanting to become people of the way, that they would have to be circumcised because Jesus was circumcised. He was a Jew. That makes sense. False teachers are always going to try to make sense to you out of a lie. They're always going to try to take a lie and make it sound legitimate. And it has just enough truth in it. And the truth that they had in this lie was that it is by grace. Has just enough truth in it to make it feel like it matches the scripture, even when it doesn't. And Paul did not want to run in vain. He wanted these people to be able to mature and to glorify God, to honor God with their whole life. Oh, I truly believe there are people who come to know Christ and never mature. And if that's the case, if that is possible, and I believe it is, that they never mature much, they also never honor and glorify God much.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jared Burdick, Lighthouse Baptist Church. You've probably heard me before with Jim speaking about the Abolish Abortion Kansas conference that we hosted yesterday on February 28th. Today is March 1st as we are recording this, and with us today we have an honorary guest and the speaker from our conference, Dusty Marshall, with the Regular for Christ Ministry. So Dusty, thank you for being here with us. Dusty is going to just briefly share, kind of summarize part of his message that he gave last night, talk about his ministry, and talk about some resources he has available for all of you who would like to do more and be involved with the fight against abortion. So Dusty, why don't you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my goal for last night was to just teach people to speak biblically about abortion so they could be effective in rescuing babies. And, you know, not just effective out at the abortion mill, which we would like people to get involved and go to the abortion mill and preach the gospel and try to rescue babies, but also in just speaking the truth to their loved ones about abortion. Answering pro-choice arguments, just knowing what the Bible has to say so those principles can translate into how they communicate with people in everyday life.
Yeah, that's so important. So why don't you talk a little bit about some of the resources that your ministry has specifically that people can go access online and where they can get that?
Yes, so on my website, which is irregularforchrist.com, that's I-R-R-E-G-U-L-A-R, the number four, Christ.com. They can go and they can download actually this pamphlet, which I'm holding right here, which is the 10 most important things you can say to someone considering abortion. This is a free download on the website. You just enter your email and it'll send you a PDF of it. Also on the website are Answer Anyone. It's an Answer Anyone video series that you can watch, and it actually goes right along with the teaching that I did last night. And it's a three-part video series that will discuss what to say to someone considering abortion, what does the Bible have to say, and answering common objections.
That's great. So you're also involved with End Abortion Now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you are a member of Apologia Church. So can you talk a little bit about what entire churches can do together?
Yeah. So the church that I attend runs the ministry End Abortion Now, and me and my ministry have served alongside them locally in Arizona for the last 4 years. But End Abortion Now is a place that people can go after they've got the approval of their church, and they can get signed up to get involved in this ministry. And what End Abortion Now gives them is free resources. They're going to give them signs. They're going to give them training material. They're going to connect them to a community, and they're going to send all of that to them for free so that they can get involved in sidewalk ministry in front of abortion mills. And that's endabortionnow.com, where they can get signed up.
Great. So you'd mentioned a little bit about people who maybe aren't close to an abortion mill. What are some things that people can be doing who don't really have the ability to go and do the sidewalk ministries?
Yeah, that's a great question. So people who don't have an abortion mill close to them, they can go and they can do abortion awareness campaigns in which they get signs together, they go out to a busy intersection, they hand out pamphlets about abortion, and they can just bring light to the wickedness that's going on in our nation, to the slaughter of innocent children. So they can do abortion awareness campaigns. They can go to their city council and push for them to make the city a sanctuary city, which means they won't have abortion. abortions in their city, and they won't open abortion mills. Also, what that does is it will eliminate the selling of the day after pill, I guess is what they would call it, or it will also allow them to sell, you know, RU486 to abort their baby chemically in that city. So it does a lot, because Walmart has access to a lot of these things, so making your city a sanctuary city is something big. And then also, don't vote for people who claim to be pro-life but are merely regulating the murder of innocent children. We need to hold our legislators responsible. The people have authority in that. So, yeah, that would be something that would be important as well.
That's great. So as those of you who have been following and listening, obviously the title of this conference is the Abolish Abortion Conference. So the reason we call it Abolish rather than just pro-life is there is becoming a distinguishing difference. And there's actually 5 tenets to abolitionism. You can access more information about this at freethestates.org. But the first 5 tenets are: 1, abolitionism is biblical. 2, abolitionism is gospel-centered. 3, abolitionism is body-driven. 4, abolitionism is immediate and uncompromising. And 5, abolitionism is providential. So those are the 5 tenets of abolitionism, and that means that we are unique from a lot of other pro-life organizations. Obviously, the pro-life movement is full of faith-based people, but it's important that we are in this fight to ensure that the principle stands that we make as we organize and lead the way are based in Scripture and they do not compromise. So if you want to learn more, if you want to watch our speakers, you can go to the Lighthouse Baptist Church YouTube channel, and you can see the recording there. We'd recommend anybody please go and do that, especially if you are here in the state of Kansas. The second speaker, Kevin Myers, gave a great speech and presentation on what we need to be doing here in our state moving forward. So if you have time, please go and check out the recording of the conference. You can find it at our church's website, lighthousesbc.org. Again, Dusty, we just want to say thank you for coming out. We sincerely appreciate you taking the time to fly all the way out here and help us with all this. So, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure to come out. I feel like it went well, and I hope people are encouraged through it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Jared and Dusty. I appreciate the time that you took to put together this event and to do this interview for us. It says in Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" You see, just as in our scripture in Galatians shows us to show no partiality, just as God shows no partiality, we should show no partiality in which lives we choose to protect. The unborn and the born alike. Equal protection. Equal protection under the law, and equal protection by Christians who love the Word of God. I would like to thank you for joining us today. And if you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to show your support, or if you would like to contact us with questions, or would like more information, or just want to hear past sermons that have gone through, you can visit us at our website, www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. That's lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can call us and leave us a message toll-free at 1-800-416-9352. That's 800-416-9352. Or write to us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and the hearing of His Word.